Good day, I'm Jackie Judd with Health on the Hill. The Senate is working through a series of health care related proposals affecting doctors, the elderly, the unemployed, and the states. It's a complicated mix. Here to bring us up to date, Mary Agnes Carey, senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News, and Noam Levy of the Los Angeles Times Tribune Washington Bureau. Welcome to you both. The bill is known as the Extender Bill. It includes what's called the Doc Fix. It includes extended Medicaid funding for the states and deals also with some Medicare reimbursement issues. Let's start with you, Mary Agnes. Walk us through the Doctor Fix and the Medicaid funding issue.
As we go through these things, we have to remember these provisions could change at any time. Majority Leader in the Senate, Harry Reid, is trying to get votes for this package, and so any of these things could change. Right now, it looks as if they're looking at a two-year Medicare physician payment fix. Again, as we've talked about several times, on June the 1st, a 21% pay cut for Medicare physicians who accept Medicare reimbursement, that went into effect. Congress is trying to fix that. In the Senate, this bill would have about a 2% increase from June 1st of this year to the end of the year, and an additional 1% increase for next year in 2011. This is the same legislation that passed in the House before they broke from the Memorial Day break. A different provision, additional provision in the Senate bill that was not in the House bill, is more Medicaid money for the states. Again, we've talked about this with the recession. A lot of folks have lost their jobs, they've lost their coverage, and they're looking to the Medicaid program for help. Governors are looking to Washington for additional funding for Medicaid. This is in this current Senate package. They are also expecting, as the floor debate continues, an amendment that would have this COBRA subsidy against, again, COBRA is additional insurance that you can buy from your employer if you lose your job. It's very expensive. There had been a 65% subsidy addition in the economic stimulus package that passed last year. That expired at the end of May. There's interest in increasing that. It's not in the House bill. It is expected to be an amendment on the Senate floor, and it could get quite a bit of support.
There's also something in the extender bill, Noam, related to Medicare reimbursement for doctors in different parts of a particular state, this one being California. But the way this goes could be a signal of what other states may face. So fill us in on that.
Well, this is sort of an interesting, although very arcane, part of the Medicare program.
Not for the doctors.
No, not for the doctors, and not for the doctors, particularly in California. But this is an issue nationally, and it has to do with the way that the federal government tries to figure out the way to pay a doctor depending on where he or she practices. The idea underlying this is that doctors who practice in urban areas, which are typically more expensive, would be paid more than those that practice in rural areas. But the sort of strange way that the system has worked over the years, there are a lot of sort of exurban and suburban counties around the country that have become very high cost, but are still paid at a relatively lower rate. California has a lot of these. There are some like San Diego, which is paid at a rural rate, even though obviously it's one of the country's largest cities. But other metropolitan areas have similar issues. This would fix the California system. And the doctors in California who sort of came up with this formula for fixing it believe that it could be extended to other parts of the country in future years.
There is some opposition to it in the Senate.
There is. Senator Tom Coburn, who is targeting specific provisions in the bill for spending, for increasing spending, has identified this and labeled this as a special carve-out for California, is trying to push an amendment that would strip it out. Not clear whether that would actually go anywhere, but there is a cost associated with this for the federal government to, in the short term, to fix this $400 million. In the longer term, the interesting thing in California that could be a model nationally is that the rural doctors would have to take essentially a pay cut in the long run to offset raising the cost in some of these urban areas. And that's the proposal that California's come up with that may be a model.
And what is the thought about what kind of impact that could have on Medicare beneficiaries and whether they would have access to doctors who will take them?
Well, I mean, this was one of the reasons why lawmakers in California have pushed this, because if the reimbursement levels are so low that doctors in high-cost areas like San Diego, Santa Barbara, again, other parts of the country, if the rates are so low, doctors are saying we can't afford to take new Medicare patients, and then it becomes an access issue everywhere.
Mary Agnes, you mentioned before the Medicaid funding. It was not included in the House version of the extender bill. It is being considered in the Senate bill. Does Harry Reid think that if it passes the Senate, he could get enough support in the House to get it through Congress and to the president's desk?
I'm sure that he shares that view, and also House Speaker Nancy Pelosi had said before the Memorial Day break, when both the Medicaid and the COBRA funding came out, she wanted to go back and have another bite at the apple and push it through. And so that's certainly their hope. And in the interim, you've had a lot of conversation with governors, Republican side, Democratic side, who've said we need this money, we've counted on it for our budgets, and Congress has to help us. So that pressure will continue to mount. But again, we must remember, why were these provisions taken out of the House bill? It's because conservative House Democrats, fiscally conservative House Democrats, known as the Blue Dogs, and some other Democrats as well.
They're not going away.
They're not going away. They voiced opposition. They don't like these provisions. They want to be fiscally responsible, in their words. So that'll kind of be the counterbalance. How does the pressure to add these things go against the pressure to not add them? And how does that fight shake down, especially as we're heading into a November election?
How do you see the fight playing out?
Well, I think that's right. The proposal that came forward in the Senate that includes the Medicaid assistance for the states was done with the expectation that Nancy Pelosi could go to some of those Blue Dog mm-hmm. Democrats, convince them to change their mind. But they're not there yet. I don't think they don't have the votes in the House yet to back that up. So that's going to be something to follow in the next few days, to see how Nancy Pelosi can go back to those fiscally conservative Democrats, try to convince them to change their mind. I think on COBRA, a lot less expectation right. that's going to make it. Their governor's pushing for Medicaid. There's not a really big, powerful lobby for people who've lost their jobs. And I don't think there's a way that they're going to figure out the money to pay for that.
Right. I think you're right.
The Department of Health and Human Services has been busy beginning to implement the health care reform law. And they just recently, in the past day or two, came out with some language related to what we call the grandfathering issue. Certain insurers and businesses could be exempt from some consumer protections if they don't change their policies. What constitutes a change is the question, I guess. What did HHS come up with?
Well, Kathleen Sebelius, the Secretary of Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, said they're trying to strike a balance where costs would not be shifted to workers and they wouldn't see major cuts in their coverage. That was the balance they tried to strike. There's debate on whether or not they achieved it. But for example, a grandfathered plan could raise the health insurance premium, but it could not come out and say, we're not going to cover a specific disease like diabetes, for example. It could not, to keep a grandfathered status, they couldn't change the co-insurance. Here we're talking about a plan, for example, maybe the employer pays 80%, the employee pays 20%. They could not increase that percentage. So there's rules on co-pays and deductibles. Again, with proponents of these regs saying they give employers some flexibility, insurers some flexibility, but they also allow consumers to be protected if they need to be protected, and you need to have plans changed to give them more of those protections. But then again, folks that oppose this say it's way too constrictive. Some of the larger business groups, for example, and also the National Federation of Independent Business, one of the small business groups, mm-hmm. coming out and saying it's way too restrictive. We don't have the flexibility we need. And their argument is also they don't think the bill does enough to control costs. So here, taking away some of their leverage in other areas will also hurt their ability to look at those costs and deal with them.
Noam, is it fair to say that this grandfathering issue is the most significant test to date of what happens when the regulators begin filling in the blanks of what the lawmakers did with health care reform?
I think that's a fair statement. I mean, I think that it's important to keep in mind that we're not sure yet what the impact will be. And so with each regulatory step, whenever we have seen regulations, there was an expectation that would sort of further clarify the impact of the law. I think we know a little bit more now in terms of what employers can and can't do, but we don't know how employers will respond to this rule. So for example, there's a big debate now among employer groups and consumer groups about how many employers will actually want this grandfather plan protection. Mm-hmm. How many of them will change their plans, will lose that protection, and what will that ultimately mean for employees? So the administration has estimated that as many as half of all employer plans will lose this grandfather protection over the next few years. That's a potentially large shift, but it still doesn't necessarily mean that employers are going to drop their coverage all of a sudden. They may keep their coverage. They may adjust it slightly. So we just don't know. And that's, I think, one of the difficult parts of sort of understanding what the regulatory process really means at this point.
We will keep an eye on it. Thank you both, Noam Levy, Mary Agnes Carey. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jackie Judd, and this has been Health on the Hill.